I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to two passages of Scripture, Joshua chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Joshua chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't know about any of you, but I sense the presence of the Lord in this service this morning. Amen. As I sit here and listen to the biography being read and singing, both by the soloist, the ensemble, and then later the children, this church is now entering 32 years of Christian ministry. And I and Cindy have only been here for a little over a year of that time. Many of you have been here much longer. And I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, where has 31 years gone? Time goes by quickly, doesn't it? Amen. And I am greatly honored, in Pastor Ledbetter's absence, to be standing here this morning on this anniversary Sunday that we set aside every year to honor the founding of this church and the years that have been put into taking the gospel to this area. Joshua chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man a tribe, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there." Now, in this passage of Scripture, an historic event in the history of the nation of Israel is taking place. The children of Israel are leaving the wilderness in which they have wandered for the last 40 years and are now entering the land of Canaan, the land of promise, the land that God said many years earlier was flowing with milk and honey. And when the last Israelite had crossed clean over Jordan, God had Joshua take 12 men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and pick up a stone roughly the size of a basketball, if you will, out of that riverbed and carry it on their shoulder to their next encampment. And at that point, he set up a memorial in accordance with what God had told him. Verses 20 and 24 of this same chapter provide a little more clarity as to the purpose of these stones. Verse 20, "And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." So Gilgal is the next encampment. That's roughly 10 miles from the edge of Jordan. "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, when he dried up from before, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, when we compare verse 7 of this chapter with verse 24, we find that these stones, which Joshua pitched for a memorial, had a threefold purpose. They were to serve as a memorial to the children of Israel, according to verse 7, leaving no doubt among the kings of the land that these were indeed God's people, that God's presence was with them. Then in verse 24, we find that one of the purposes is that all the people of the earth might know the mighty hand of the Lord and what he had done for Israel. May I say that each of us here this morning that is saved, all right, we know what the mighty hand of the Lord can do, don't we? Amen. Then also in verse 3, we see that one of the purposes is that the children of Israel might fear God forever. May I say this morning that fear of the Lord is a healthy thing. Amen. The summary of the entire book of Ecclesiastes in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 was to fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. And so even to this day, stones are still used as memorials, are they not? You find them in graveyards scattered all around the land. You see them at the numerous ambush sites, both here and other places around the country. You see stones at some of the famine memorials around the country, and rightfully so. In fact, you are subject to see stones anywhere there is a story to be told, aren't you? Amen? May I say to you this morning that the Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig has a story to tell? The purpose of this gathering today is to give glory and praise and honor and thanks to Almighty God for the previous 31 years of blessing he has placed on this church in taking the gospel to the greater Cork area. And over that span of time, many people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And upon following him in believers' baptism, united with this church as members, and have spent years faithfully and diligently serving alongside our pastor in the work. Any pastor who has been used by God to establish and maintain a successful church will be the first to tell you that they did not do it alone. It wasn't just their labor and sacrifice that got the church off the ground and got it running and kept it running. It was also that of their wives. Let's not forget that. It was also that of their families that labored alongside of them until they started families of their own. But there is also another group to consider. And that would be that handful of faithful saints that every good church has who decided that their homes, their families, their church, their community, and above all, the cause of Christ were worth fighting for, and that they would stand as stones against the spirit of his age, keeping the light of the gospel shining far and near. Amen. This should come as no surprise to the Christians among us today. Our Lord himself is referred to as a stone in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, where the Bible says, "Wherefore is it also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief corner stone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." An obvious reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, is quoting the prophet Isaiah. And he says in Isaiah 28, verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation." Now, I want you to let that word foundation remain at the forefront of your thoughts for just a moment. I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Once again, an obvious reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul comes along and says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation, there's that word again, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we see in these verses that the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of anything that will matter in eternity. He is the foundation that it is built on. Then back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we also see this. Ye also, this is speaking of born-again Christians, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So not only is our Savior referred to as a stone, but His children are as well, being called lively stones. And then leave it to the Apostle Paul to give us some characteristics of these lively stones. And we will find those in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we will pick up in verse number 58. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. We are in no hurry this morning, so I'll wait until everyone has joined me, because I want you to see this with your own eyes and perhaps highlight it in your Bible if you see fit to do so. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58, where Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, so it's obvious that he's writing to saved people here, be ye steadfast, there's characteristic number one, unmovable, there's characteristic number two, always abounding in the work of the Lord, there's characteristic number three, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May I say this morning that these characteristics most certainly apply to the folks that I'm going to call the stones of the Bible Baptist Church. And by that, I mean those who have devoted anywhere from 8 to 31 years of their life to the work of the Lord. I don't have to tell these people that that work is often by its very nature thankless. And while it may go unnoticed by many here, it certainly has not and will not go unnoticed at the throne of God where the records are kept. So this morning, I'd like to take a look at these three characteristics, all right, as they apply to a certain group of folks within our church here. Amen. Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the great privilege that you've given me to stand before this church today and to preach your word. It is not one that I take lightly, Father. And in light of the foundation, Lord, that we have here and the years that have been spent by many people building upon that foundation, Father, it behooves me to tread carefully this morning, to render honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom is due, tribute to whom tribute is due, and above all, to honor and to glorify you through the preaching of your word. Lord, I'm leaving it to you to touch hearts across this building this morning, to open minds for the understanding of this message, Father. And we'll thank you and praise you for the good that'll come of it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. As we see, the first characteristic of these steadfast folks in our church, stones, is exactly that, being steadfast. It is a word that only appears 11 times in our King James Bible, yet has such a powerful meaning. It's a word that means constant, firm, resolute, not fickle or wavering. These are people in our midst who are not double-minded. They have made a commitment to God and to this church and have not wavered or doubted, but remained true to that commitment. These are the folks who came to church when it was popular and when it wasn't. They came to church when they felt good and when they didn't. They came to church regardless of whether their children wanted to or not. They came to church, rain, shine, sleet, or snow. And they came to church today out of love and adoration for a Savior who loved them and gave himself for them. These are the people that the pastor can stand behind his pulpit and look out over the auditorium and find them sitting in their customary place each time the doors are open, thereby bringing him a measure of comfort and confidence. This is something that Paul complimented the Colossian church on in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, where he said, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." This steadfastness that Paul speaks of comes not of themselves, all right? It is a testimony to the steadfastness of their God. And each and every one of the people that I'm referring to here today would tell you that. And as I searched for a passage of Scripture that might illustrate this point, I came across this one, and it really leaped out at me. It's Daniel chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, where the Bible says, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." That, loved ones, is the testimony of a pagan king, King Darius the Mede. And one of the attributes that he ascribes to God there in verse 26 of that passage is being steadfast. So what's the connection between God and these servants of his in our midst? It's being steadfast. Like father, like child. Amen. Our God is steadfast in his commitment to us, and they, in like manner, have been steadfast in their commitment to him and to this church. The next characteristic we see of these stones, if you will, of our church is that they are unmovable. These people are not easily moved or shaken. They know what they believe. They know why they believe it. And you could not blast them out of this church with a stick of dynamite. Amen. And you can't move them because they are rooted. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith." You see the progression there. Rooted, you got to have roots before any building can take place. Rooted, built up in him, and establish in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. With each passing year, these are the people who have grown deeper in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the principles of his word. Now, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, as the hymn writer put it, they are not carried about with every wind of doctrine, according to Ephesians 4:14. But continue in the faith, grounded and settled, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Their roots run very deep, and they get deeper with each passing year, enabling them to stand strong in the face of any challenge. You don't see much of this here in Europe, but you do in the southeastern United States, and that is hurricanes at certain times of the year. And those hurricanes come blowing ashore with winds blowing anywhere from 100 to 150 miles per hour. And you see those palm trees along the shoreline there, they will bend and bend and bend and bend in that wind. But when the storm passes, they stand right back up again. Why? Because the roots run deep. Amen. Praise God for folks that got involved in God's church and said, "Look, we're just going to put down roots here. We're going to bloom where God planted us." Amen. Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. You have about as much chance of moving Mount Zion out of Jerusalem as you do of moving one of these stones that I speak of this morning out of our church. And because of that, the Lord is round about them, shielding and protecting them, and rewarding them for their faithfulness. Amen. And then the last characteristic we see is that they are always abounding in the work of the Lord. That word abounding simply means to have in great plenty. And when it comes to the work of the Lord being done in this church, these stones of our church are always ready to lend a helping hand. For those of you who are visiting with us or may not know, we stay pretty busy around here. And that's a tribute to the leadership here. But just to give you some clue of what I mean, last January, our college and career young adults and several of our teens went on a mission trip to the Netherlands. It was a great blessing to me to see these young men working the streets of Hilversum and the streets of Amsterdam, where the Muslim population is quite high, and fearlessly sharing the gospel with everybody that would listen to them. Amen. It was a huge blessing. Each spring, as Gleb mentioned earlier, we conduct Ireland's Christian men's camp. This year, there were 84 men in attendance. I think that was a new record. At Easter, we presented a resurrection play with over 150 people in attendance here. Each June, this anniversary service that we're holding today is held. In July, it's family camp. In August, it's the annual Summer Bible Club. In October, it's Light the Night for the children and teens. And in December, it's the annual Christmas programs. And in between all of these events, there's the regular Friday street ministry in downtown Cork and the Saturday door-to-door ministry. All of these events require much planning and preparation. And you'll usually find our stones right in the midst of all of it. Their years of experience help tremendously with things like meal planning, transportation, getting people from point A to point B, getting materials from point A to point B, the gathering of supplies. In order for an event, if I may use today as an example, in order for today to happen, you know, we're having grilled burgers out back afterwards. Do you know how many stores you have to go to find enough buns to be able to feed a crowd this size? Well, we have one individual that was willing to do that, willing to put in that legwork, and praise God for him. Then there's the teaching and preaching and many other areas that they're involved in as well. It behooves me this morning to mention those that among our stones who may not be physically able to participate in those kind of things anymore, but they are willing to invest a lot of time and prayer for these activities and for those who are helping to carry them out. Praying that God will grant us wisdom, guidance, and clarity of thought to accomplish that which he desires. You know, the Apostle Paul said something concerning a certain family in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verses 15 and 16, he said this, "I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." If you absolutely positively must have an addiction, that would be the one to have. Amen. Because the Bible speaks positively of that addiction, okay? Addict yourself to the ministry of the saints. Verse 16, "that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth." You know, in verse 15, that word addicted appears one time in our King James Bible. And it is in connection with ministering to God's people. Wow. In verse 16, we're told we should submit ourselves to saints such as these for their labor's sake and also as an example of Christian service. We can have no greater role models of that in our midst. Amen. Just how seriously does God take this matter? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, I think, shed some light on that. Verse 10, God said, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." There's our stones. Now look at verse 11. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. What's Paul saying? You take a look at these stones, and then you follow their lead. Get in with them and get busy. Amen. There is always something to be done around the house of God. It blesses my heart greatly to have our young men from time to time during the week drop by here just to see if anything needs to be done. There are ladies out here that call just to see if there's anything that needs to be done around the church. It does not go unnoticed. It means far more to this church than you think. Loved ones, the time is rapidly approaching when the saved, redeemed saints of God are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged not for our sins. Those were judged at Calvary. But we're going to be judged for our works, the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad, and the rewards are going to be handed out. And I would submit to you that we need to follow the example of our stones here at the Bible Baptist Church, that we not appear before our Lord empty-handed. How tragic it would be to walk away from the judgment seat of Christ empty-handed. In closing this morning, I'd like to say that by recognizing in love this special group of saints, and I hope I've done a good job of articulating that, and that's what we're trying to do here this morning, by no means are we mocking or denigrating the service of others in this church. Work schedules and family commitments are very demanding these days, and it's understood that many of you do what you can when you can for this church, and we are no less thankful for you and for your contribution to the work. It is simply our intent today to recognize those who for many years have stayed by the stuff and as a result have become an example to all of us. Now, I'm not going to ask anyone to stand. I'm not going to ask for any show of hands or how long any of you have been here, because in keeping with their Christian character, our stones don't need or want any special attention. Their desire is for all the glory to go to God, and rightfully so. That said, it is these saints that make up our stones who are a living memorial to Christian service and devotion within this church. I pray that the Lord does not delay His coming. Trust me when I tell you that nobody wants to leave this world faster than this preacher. Amen. But if, for His own reasons, He does, and future generations of children in this church, in their own unique and childlike way, ask, "What mean ye by these stones?" We can tell them with absolute assurance that these were totally committed servants of God. They left nothing on the table. They gave their all. A great evangelist of the past, Dwight L. Moody, once said something that should inspire all of us to, like our stones, to lay all on the altar of sacrifice for God. He said, quote, "The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man, or a woman for that matter, who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him. With God's help, I aim to be that man." The world was looking for that man in Moody's day, and that world is looking for that, and the world rather is looking for that man or that woman now. Amen. Why not purpose in your heart for that man or woman to be you and follow in the footsteps of these stones that have given so much of themselves to the Lord and to this church in years past. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I have done my best this morning to do what you asked me to do, and to honor those who have laid everything on the line for you, Father. Those who risk everything, Lord, to be a part of the success of this church. Lord, I know that you have blessed them greatly over the years. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless them, Lord, and that younger generations among us, Father, will look to them not only for strength and for guidance, but also as an example of devotion in the work that you called us to do. Father, I ask that you speak to hearts, Father, as Brother Tom comes with our closing hymn. And we'll thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.